Okay, we're back in session. For a group that didn't want to have a break, I'd like to have you sit down. And I can't read your minds very well. Everybody has always wanted a break at 7:30, so we're breaking. And now we're back. And Mike Lane, Capital Plan Review Committee, you're up.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. We have not had a meeting since our last meeting of the legislature. We will meet tomorrow at 3:30 at the Old Jail Conference Room. We'll be taking a new and fresh look at the 20-year capital plan. Ed Marks will be there to help us with that. We'll be also talking about updates on the legislature relocation and the Human Services Annex projects. We're also continuing in our tasks to try to find other space for the criminal justice program, as we directed our administration to try to look for that almost 2 years ago now by resolution. That's pretty much what I have.
Any questions for Mike? Thank you, Mike. Government Operations Committee, Dooley Kiefer, Chair.
Thank you. We met last Friday, the 13th. Most of what we acted on will come to the legislature's next meeting, the 1st of May. We did hear more about the county clerk's initiative to provide ID cards for veterans so that they can more easily access discounts available to veterans, and you'll hear more about that in the future. We acted on a resolution opting out of real property tax section 487 with respect in particular to commercial scale wind farm. And if you want me to explain it, I will, but you'll also get that next month. We had very little time at the end of the meeting, but acted nevertheless on a resolution put forth by Peter Stein dealing with part of the problem with the Citizens United Supreme Court decision. And I would ask all of you legislators to think about the topic in general. One can take the approach of a constitutional amendment to deal specifically with the mischief done by huge amounts of money being available during our election cycles and how that colors the outcome. One can also take the approach of a constitutional amendment to deal with the accumulated rights that the Supreme Court has given corporations and their ilk. That would be a corporate personhood amendment. So there could be two different approaches, or they could be melded into one resolution. Or you might prefer to take a legislative approach, which doesn't really have much effect on the Supreme Court. So think about these things, because at our next legislative meeting, that's what the topic will be. And lastly, I want to mention that under shared services, which slowly our committee is getting around to for each department that we deal with, we got to assessment. And, of course, having countywide assessment is the best shared service of all, but we can't count that because we've had it for so long. And Jay has talked about other things. The one that seemed so sensible and something we ought to be able to implement sooner rather than later has to do with the sharing of databases, probably mostly among departments at the county. For example, the health department needs to know who dies. The Board of Election needs to know who dies, and they shouldn't both have to read the Ithaca Journal to find out who's dead. So conceivably, there could be some simple, quick sharing of that kind of information. And we meet again next month on the second Friday of the month at 9:30.
Thank you, Dooley. Frank?
Dooley, two things. First, at the Health Committee meeting, we referred the item on adding clarification on the tax bills to GEO. I passed the folder. Martha, let me borrow on to you.
It was received.
Okay.
And it's on our to-do list in the future.
Okay, second item, if you're going to review corporate personhood, will you also be in GO reviewing the abuses of organizations that use the not-for-profit designation for accumulating various wealth?
What I said was, we got through that corporate personhood election money discussion at the end of the meeting with essentially zero discussion. So there will be a resolution before this body at its next meeting. And I was just alerting you all, if you want to think about these topics, that's when we'll get to discuss them at the legislature level.
But you didn't answer my question. Are you going to look at the not-for-profit status that so many organizations enjoy and the accumulation of wealth that they have under that designation?
No, why would we?
Because I think that's a companion piece to the corporate one that you're looking at.
Well, if there's something you would like the committee to consider, why don't you, you know, put something in front of the league.
So. I did.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a good idea, Martha. Thank you.
I've just been reminded that I was remiss in my incomplete report about looking at tax bill information. And it was very nice to have members of the committee willing to put some extra time in. So there's a subcommittee of Mike Lane and Pat Pryor and visitor Martha Robertson, who will meet with Jay on this and bring something forward.
Good.
Peter?
I wonder if I might be allowed to just respond very briefly to Frank's question. If that's okay.
Sure.
Very briefly, the resolution that we did pass at that meeting treats corporations, real persons, and any other organizations in a completely consistent manner. Doesn't distinguish between corporations of other sources.
I haven't seen it, Peter.
Excuse me?
I haven't seen it. Sorry.
Right. Well, I was just telling you that. You'll find that's true, a true descriptor of it.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Dooley? Thank you very much. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, a lot of what we talked about was, in fact, the tourism grant, which we have already discussed. I won't go at length for that. We had a very, very interesting, very quick report from Soil and Water on all the stream projects that they have been doing, and this, I think, connects to Joe's report on all the money that's flowed in to help these restorative projects and preventative projects, but also the informal but very real help that our highway crews have been doing to make our systems more secure. And so I was totally impressed. I never quite understood how the money on any of this flowed, but it's doing good stuff. Michael Stamm came and talked about TCAD and the economic value to our community and its priorities and its funding situation, which, as many of you are aware, is headed into a sort of a perilous direction. Some of the older members and our longer-standing members will remember when TCAD was first set up. It was initially based on a funding model that was one-third county, one-third membership, and about one-third fee base. And in recent years, this had evolved to a point where it was basically being funded through fee-based projects funded through the IDA. Typically, 70% of its budget has been coming from that source. That is coming to has really come down to a trickle because the number of projects that have been going through has fallen way, way off. We heard tonight from David that whole realm may be even getting worse. They are not going to be have enough money to continue as is through 2013. So expect to hear back from them, and our committee will be hearing more in terms of proposals that they would have. But I think if we want to have a economic development operation in this county, we're going to have to really take a fresh look at how it's being funded and supported. We heard Ed's report and discussion of the hydrilla situation, which is, as many of you know, continues to be very, very serious and will be source of another massive treatment attempt this year. And that work will also be continuing. I'm hoping that we will be considering a local law that would give us greater ability to formally require people to clean their boats when they're getting out of water. So that's to come. Our next meeting will be on Wednesday, May 2nd at 3:30. That is my report.
Thank you, Will. Dooley.
Will, were you going to mention the hydrilla training days, May 3rd and May 6th?
I'm glad that you mentioned them. Please.
I can't find my sheet of paper.
Yes.
I know those are the two dates.
Yes.
When persons who were interested and willing to put in a bit of time actually looking for the plant are being offered free training, and thereafter will be expected to volunteer on boats and on land.
Thank you, Julia. That came out, I believe, at the EMC meeting. But there is going to be a need for community education around hydrilla, and including people sitting at the farmer's market and sort of explaining what this stuff is and how incredibly aggressive it can expand, and how we all need to be aware of it and do what we can do to keep it from spreading. It doesn't have to be a large boat to spread. It can be something as seemingly benign as a canoe that just carries these little bits of tubers or pieces of the plant to the wrong place, and then it's suddenly in the lake. So training days come up, and we'll try to make sure that we get the word out on those in terms of the times.
One of them is in the afternoon and one's in the evening, I think, but
okay,
I don't
you.
Have it.
Okay, any other questions for Will? Thank you very much. Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
I did have one question for Will.
Oh, sure, David.
Well, has there been any discussion on, we heard tonight that they're going to have money for dredging the inlet.
Mm-hmm.
So has there been any discussion around what kind of precautions they're going to take while doing that?
Well, once again, that was discussed. There was a special meeting of the EMC, which talked about hydrilla from many different realms. And I know Dooley was at that. Please help me. But my understanding is that they're acutely aware of the dredging. The sense is that potentially this could allow them to be more successful in treating it, because they're going to be dredging a wider area and can pull out much of the plant matter in the process. The problem that they have still is they don't have a satisfactory place as to where to put the dredging spoils. Do I have that correct, or is it?
You do. I have no idea what DEC has in mind at this point.
Well, I was told that their regional DEC is pulling together a meeting in May. And they are trying to look at this in sort of holistic manner, not just the hydrilla and the flooding and the inlet, but also basically water quality. So I think they're finally taking the lead, taking the reins, and understanding that they're responsible for this and that they have to get it done. And I think with an announcement of $13 million of state money, that's certainly going to set things in motion. And I think it's really good news, really good. Yeah, I think I described it last time, where instead of just dredging a shallow channel so that water and boats can go through, they would now be dredging, or the idea would be to go wall to wall and really get everything out of there. Of course, that creates the problem of more spoils and where to put those. but that's finally the people who are, I think, able to make those decisions, and now with the funding, are apparently all going to be working on it. So, together with city and the county.
And one of the problems, though, is that truly there's not a whole lot known about the most effective way to deal with hydrilla. We're literally inventing as we go along. And one of the concerns raised about the dredging is that would, the very process could cause plants to be freed and go out into the lake. And so what you can do in terms of netting or whatever to prevent that. But I think we have a lot of very, very smart people working on this, and hopefully we have the resources from the state. So
there's a lot of information on the Cooperative Extension website. If anybody has any questions, I'm sure that these meetings, there are a lot of meetings coming up. Those are probably all listed there as well. If you go to Cooperative Extension and search on hydrilla, I think there's a world of information there. So, all right. Broadband Committee, Pat Dyer, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Martha. Thursday evening this week at 7 o'clock at the Ulysses Town Hall will be the next in our series of community meetings. Anyone from any community is welcome to come to any of these forums, so please join us if you can this Thursday evening, 7 o'clock, Ulysses Town Hall. The final community forum will be on May 9th in Newfield, and I will repeat the notice of that at our next meeting. This coming Monday will be our next broadband meeting at 5:30 in the Borg Warner Room in the Tompkins County Public Library. That, too, is an open public meeting, and anyone is welcome to join us. Our phone survey, which will be performed by the Survey Research Institute from Cornell, is in the final stage of the process of preparing for the survey. They are going to do some pilot testing of the survey the first week in May. This is the survey that is being funded by the grant from the Park Foundation. There will be approximately 200 interviews of somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 minutes each. And the questions, the actual survey questions, were prepared by the county thanks to Paula Younger. Spent a great deal of time working on that, did a great job for us. Following the surveys themselves, which will take place in the month of May and probably into the early part of June, then there will be a time for data analysis and reporting back to the committee, and hopefully we will have the information back from the Survey Research Institute by the middle of June. So that's our schedule at this point, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Pat. Any questions for Pat? Very good. I'm looking forward to results from that survey. Thank you. Budget, Capital, Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis.
Thank you. Monday, April 23rd, 3:30 is the next meeting. We will be having a special invite to, in fact, we've already made it, to the president of TC3. He's going to come here and talk a little bit about his budget to the committee prior to the joint meeting that we go to out at TC3. And I think that, you know, we'll be asking Carl what the impact of the state budget has been on his budget or on his potential budget. Monday, 3:30. Thank you. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Jim. Frank?
Jim, I think it was the last board meeting, you reported that Joe and maybe David gave the budget committee a presentation on fund balances.
Yes.
And it was a spreadsheet of some sort. Will that be available for us at the budget retreat on the 30th? Or could it be available to us?
I'm sure it could be. And you may want to get it before.
But, yeah. I made a note last time to send it to everyone.
Yeah. Nice going, Joe.
So you'll have it tomorrow morning. Everyone, it's a PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
thanks.
A PowerPoint. As
you mean I gotta have to go on the computer to do this? Thanks, Joe.
Any other questions for Jim? Thank you, Jim. Carol?
Did I see that on your agenda you were going to be addressing a resolution in support of increasing the minimum wage in New York State?
Not for me.
Okay.
But it is on their agenda.
I see it on your agenda from April 23rd. So I guess my question is, what happened to it?
Yeah,
what?
But there is no, what's your question?
Tonight there isn't. At the budget meeting.
Yeah, well, it's on here. It's on the agenda, yeah.
The agenda for?
For Monday.
For Monday. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Yeah.
We haven't had April 23rd yet.
Yeah, I don't normally say what's going to be on the agenda for
yes,
the...
Yes, no. I was confused in terms of dates. Sorry.
Okay, that's okay.
Okay. Public Safety Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
It's so long ago, I can hardly remember, but it was only 2 weeks ago, I guess. It seems like a long time. We did have a meeting. I hate having a committee meeting right after a legislature meeting, because then I have to remember for 2 weeks. But let me try. There were two items of interest discussed there. One of them was we got the report from the sheriff, and there was an enormous increase in the number of board outs. And we'd been running for a long time on a couple of board outs, and now we were up to, I forget what, but something like 15. There seemed to be no explanation that anyone could come up with. Good weather, bad weather, men, women, but people were saying things about those parameters, but it didn't really seem to explain anything. I don't think there's any more understanding of it. It did occur to me at that time. I mean, it seems like a big change when it goes from 2 to 15. Sounds like a great, big, huge change. But really, the right thing you have to look at is the total number of people who have been sent to jail, essentially. And in the past, it's been running around 80 or 90 people. And when you go from 80 people to 95 people, it doesn't seem like such a huge change. But, of course, all of the people that you add end up as board outs. So it may just be a statistical fluctuation. But we are looking into that to see if we can understand a little better what's driving that. And let's see. Oh, yes. The other item that I want to report on is... Carol Chalk raised a question the couple of days before our meeting about her concern that were we prepared in the sheriff's office for a large-scale peaceful demonstration. I don't know quite what she had in mind, but she wondered whether, in fact, how would we react to that? How would the sheriff's department react to that? And so we did ask... the sheriff and the undersheriff to report on that. And we had a rather lengthy discussion about it. And I must say, any concerns that I had were allayed by what I heard. And in particular, I asked them a question that was taken directly from my experience when I was in New York City at the Occupy Wall Street demonstration and watched the New York City police cope with a large crowd of peaceful people. And at least from the answer that I got from the sheriff and the undersheriff, I became convinced that, in fact, we would handle that situation in a less confrontational way than what I observed at New York City Police. And by the way, what I observed there was not all that confrontational. So I felt reassured by that. And our next meeting is, I believe, the 2nd of May at 11 o'clock in the morning.
All right. Any questions?
Yeah, since my name has come up in association with this question a couple of times, I just wanted the opportunity, if I may, to talk a little bit about why I asked the question about what our policy and what the current training and, you know, my observation last spring as there were demonstrations around the country and my fears for the upcoming spring as I see a population that feels increasingly marginalized and threatened and pressed economically, culturally, and some of the stuff we've seen in our own community about people voicing various points of view and frustrations about ways in which they feel marginalized. And then fracking, there's a lot of issues out there today. And I was here back in the 60s when, the ways in which our public safety force responded, I think, made the difference between life and death. People were marching around with guns, and the ways in which this community was able to keep that from escalating made a very big difference. And I don't want to see, as people go expressing opinions in ways that we don't always agree with, whether we agree with the opinions or not, and whether we agree with exactly where they choose to have the demonstration or not have the demonstration, the ways in which we respond to make a difference. And then the other observation was in last year's various demonstrations around the country, there was a real range of outcomes in what resulted in the publicity and the national image of the various communities, everything from, peaceful and worked out and negotiations between the public, the safety forces and the demonstrators, and communities where that didn't happen. And so I just wanted to know what our policy was, whether we thought about it, and I think just thinking about it in advance can make a difference to the outcome. And so I had asked that, and thank you for having the conversation, and I think it should be an interesting year. Yes, Pierre.
I certainly was pleased that you raised the question. It had not occurred to me. It's a good thing to know about, and I certainly didn't know the answer, and I was, as I say, relieved by what I did hear there.
Okay, thanks very much. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, is there anyone here who was at the last meeting? Peter?
I certainly am not a member of that committee, but I did go to a public meeting that they gave earlier this week, and I could just say a few words as to what I heard there. I think I was the only legislator there.
That was the training about the climate survey?
It was about the climate report.
Employee briefing.
Right. Briefing, yeah.
So I just take a couple of seconds. I listened to it. Deanna gave a report on it. There was a huge amount of data that they presented. And like all data, I found it interesting, and I found it itself prompted more questions. But I thought it was a good idea that they had done that. And it did seem to me that the data that I saw showed the possibility that there were issues that we had to attack as employers. I was a little disappointed that the response was not greater, the percentage response was not greater than it was. But all in all, I thought it was a very useful survey to have done.
Thank you, Peter. And we will get a briefing here in an upcoming meeting.
Right. Jim may have said it at his budget next week. This will be an agenda item. The climate survey will be presented at Budget and Capital on Monday.
And was the decision to bring it to this board, to the full board?
No. We will have a retreat sometime in May. And we'll talk about follow-ups to it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Thanks for that report, Peter. Mike, we have your resolution.
Thank you. Last Wednesday, I and probably many of us here stood quietly while a procession that started in Syracuse drove down through 81 and then into Homer and Cortland and Dryden, Lansing and Cayuga Heights, town of Ithaca, into the city of Ithaca, carrying the body of Corporal Christopher Bordoni, who had died after his serious injuries. There were thousands of people. The fire departments were out with their flags. It was one of the most moving experiences I've encountered in my career. And I'd like to move the following resolution that I think helps us as a board say something to the family. Resolution I, I hope that we could have a unanimous second, commemorating Corporal Christopher David Bordoni.
And we have a unanimous second, I think.
Thank you.
So seconded.
Thanks. Whereas the people of Tompkins County were grieved to learn that United States Marine Corporal Christopher David Bordoni died on April 3, 2012 at the San Antonio Military Medical Center from injuries sustained in the service of his country while in combat in Kajaki, Afghanistan. And whereas Corporal Bordoni was born on August 3, 1990 in Ithaca, New York, and grew up in Tompkins County. And whereas in 2008 he graduated from Ithaca High School. And whereas Corporal Bordoni enlisted in the United States Marine Corps, received training and rendered honorable and vital service to the United States of America in important theaters of operation at home and abroad, including two tours of duty in Afghanistan. And whereas in 2011, Corporal Bordoni married Jessica Coher Bordoni, who survives him. And whereas in addition to his wife, he is survived by his mother, Carol Bordoni Sprague, his father, Timothy Bordoni, his sister and brother, Jacqueline Bordoni and Casey Bordoni, his grandparents, David and Phyllis Sprague, and Camillo and Mary Ellen Bordoni, as well as members of his extended family and in-laws. And whereas Corporal Bordoni received many decorations for his distinguished service, including the Purple Heart. And whereas on April 12, 2012, Corporal Bordoni was buried with full military honors in Cavalry Cemetery in Ithaca. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the members of the Tompkins County Legislature, on behalf of all of the people of Tompkins County, hereby express their heartfelt condolences to Jessica Coher Bordoni and to all the members of the family of Corporal Christopher David Bordoni for their terrible loss. Resolve further that this resolution be spread upon the minutes of the legislature and that a certified copy thereof forthwith be transmitted to the family of Corporal Christopher David Bordoni with our deepest gratitude for his exemplary service and our full and humble acknowledgement of the supreme sacrifice he has rendered for all of us.
Thank you very much, Mike. Any discussion? Any comments? All in favor, please raise your hand. That's unanimous. I'd like to ask for a moment of silence in memory of Corporal Bordoni and all the others who've lost their lives in their service to our country. Thank you. I go to the minutes of the March 27th meeting. Your motion moved by Pat, seconded by Frank. Any comments? All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed. That is one opposed. However many are here left. Minutes of April 3rd, please. Moved by Brian, seconded by Pat. Comments? All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed. That's one opposed. All right. Motion to adjourn. Move. Second. All in favor? We are adjourned. Thank you very much.